produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Chapter 5, and I always encourage everyone to get you a study Bible, so that you can have your headings and your separations of scripture into particular themes and thoughts, okay? So what are we dealing with? We're dealing with Exodus. We're approaching the time where God says, let my people go, okay? Let my people go. In the previous session, if you missed it, go back on YouTube and catch the overview of Exodus, which was session 13. The chapter 1 through 4 of Exodus was session 14. So catch those two sessions to get yourself ready for what we're about to speak of. Okay. So if you see in your study Bibles, and we got a lot to cover, so we're going to get right into it. If you see in your study Bibles, it says the first encounter with Pharaoh. So whose first encounter? Moses. Moses and Aaron first encounter with Pharaoh starts chapter 5. Okay. So now Moses is not in Midian anymore. He's God has spoke to him and told him to go back to Egypt so that he can lead God's people out of Egypt. Remember, God's people went into Egypt at 75 people, including, it said 70, but it also includes Joseph and his sons and grandsons. So they grew to 2.5 million. So now God has to bring them out. He grew his people. Now he has to bring them out. Those of y'all that's listening for the first time, remember two things. And everybody that's been on, you're getting tired of me saying it, and I know. Remember, we're dealing with the Abrahamic covenant. So as you're reading through, you know God is fulfilling his promise, divine promise or covenant that he established in Genesis. From Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, I will make your name great. I will make you into a great people. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. I will give you a land of your own, which we know is the promised land. Okay, Abrahamic covenant, you got to remember that. So you know the purpose of why God is doing what he's doing. Secondly, remember, you know, I say it all the time, he's forming his nation unto himself, his own particular, peculiar people. His nation, and he needs three things. He needs people, he needs three elements. People, he needs law, and he needs land. I know everybody to come on, you hear that in your sleep by now, right? Well, good, because I'm going to drill it in your head. When they grew from 75 to 2.5 million, now you have your people. Now he has to pull them out of Egypt to give them the second element, which is the law. And he spoke already to Moses saying, you will come back to here, that Mount Sinai, the burning bush, where all that was, I'm going to bring you back here and I'm going to give you the laws. So that's what he's doing. Are we together? Amen. I can hear you say, Reb, I got it. Okay, so let's move forward. Now, we got to get them out of Egypt. So now we got to get started, okay? You find in verse 1, it says, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus says the Lord. When you see in this context, the Lord, that is God's proper name, Yahweh. When you see YHWH, that's what that means, Yahweh. Okay, the Most High God. This is his proper name. Thus says Yahweh, God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness. Okay, that's what he said in verse 1. You see, moving right along to verse 2, Pharaoh gave him his reply. Pharaoh said, now listen to this. Who is this Lord Or who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? Now, remember Pharaoh's standpoint. I got 2.5 million people in my land working as slaves, making me rich on a daily basis. There's no way I'm gonna let them go. Okay? That's his standpoint. His standpoint also is, I am God myself. I am a God, and I consider myself a God. But he will see that he's sadly mistaken. Okay? He replied, who is the Lord? That's cocky, right? That I should obey his voice and let them go. I do not know the Lord, period, is what he said. Nor will I let Israel go. Now, side note, as you know, I always give you little notes. Pharaoh was rejecting God's position of superiority. He was clearly stating, I am supreme and no one is above me. I do not answer to anybody. So how dare you tell me somebody says let 2.5 million people go? Okay? That's your mindset that you have to be in. You have to understand what Pharaoh was thinking. Amen? Okay. So keep that in mind. He considers himself a God. So I want you to, during these plagues and during this time period of scripture, you can pretty much look at it as this is a competition, if you will. But this is a fixed fight, okay? It's a loaded, one-sided competition. The Most High, Yahweh, the Lord, is in a sense, now there's no competition, of course, but he is showing Pharaoh how you are not a God and I am the only one true God. And as he matriculates through the plagues, what he's going to do is he's going to go against, most theologians say this, that he's going to go against one by one the particular gods that they worship in that present day and time. Okay? So the plagues actually have a purpose, each one of them individually. Okay? So keep that in mind, but we're going to go through that. So he is rejecting God's position of superiority. Okay? Keep that in mind. So moving right along, verse 3, you'll see, and most of the time I'm paraphrasing, but you have the notes in front of you. Anybody who wants the notes, send me your email address and I will send you the notes ahead of time. Okay? So, but if not, get on the Zoom line, the video line, and you will be able to read them off the screen. Okay? So, verse 3, please, or he shall fall upon us with pestilences, or with a sword, diseases, plagues. He's saying, please, Pharaoh, do this, or the Lord will show you who he is. Okay? So, the grouping of verses 4 through 11, you will find, and I'm paraphrasing, Pharaoh says, get back to your labor. Go back to work, because they are slaves. Okay? Go back to your work. Then he told the taskmasters, his people, you shall no longer give the people straw to make bricks as before. Wow. You shall not reduce the quota of bricks per day as well. The people are idle, so they cry out. So they have nothing to do. You're not working them hard enough, so they must keep the same quota. But now what they're saying, so you're saying like, okay, well, how can they make the bricks? They are to go and find the straw themselves wherever they can find it throughout the land. Bring the straw back and then make bricks. So you know how much time that takes, okay? So you know they can't make that quota, but that occupies their time. So in verse 12, you see the people were scattered abroad to find their own straw for bricks. So, like you remember the phrase divide and conquer? Or, you know, if a people is undivided, they cannot unite. Well, what Pharaoh was doing was he's becoming fearful that they will unite. So then he's scattering them abroad, okay? They have to go find their own straw. So you're saying, like, why on earth, if he needs the bricks, why would he tell them to do this? That's why. He's trying to separate them. He's trying to cause confusion among the people. And he's trying to separate them so they cannot unite. And they will be so busy to where they will start fighting amongst themselves or amongst their leaders. And we will see that, okay? Verse 14, the officers, where it says that, that's when you see officers, take that as the foremans, or now he's speaking to, these are not the taskmasters, they were Egyptians. The officers were Hebrews that were foremans, if you will, or supervisors, okay? Among their own people is what you have to think about. Well, they were beaten, so you know they're not Egyptians, okay? They were Hebrews. They were beaten because of the quota has not been fulfilled for 2 days. So now he's causing hatred in between the Hebrews themselves, okay? So 15 and 16, you see the officers or supervisors or foremen went and questioned Pharaoh. Why are your servants, we are servants, so you know they're not Egyptians, okay? Why are your servants being beaten when we have not been given straw? You did this. So why, or they would say to Pharaoh, you did it, but that the taskmasters did not give us straw, okay? Because they weren't that bold. They know they couldn't do that. But the taskmasters have not given us straw. But in 17 through 19, you see the explanation. Pharaoh says, you are idle. So that is why you ask to be let go, so that you may sacrifice to the Lord. So go back to work. No straw will be given, and the quota must be fulfilled. So immediately, now the officer's mindset has changed. Now, Pharaoh put in their head, I'm doing this because you're worried about leaving, going sacrifice to your God instead of working. So now, who are they mad at? Moses and Aaron. So it says the officers knew they were in trouble. You see that? So you fall down to verses 20, 21, the officers blamed Moses and Aaron. And listen to what they said. Let the Lord look upon you and judge you, because you have made trouble for us in front of Pharaoh, who shall kill us. So now remember, they got the slave mindset, okay? They don't want to be killed. They've already been beaten, so they're scared. So don't look upon them too harshly, because they are literally fearing for their lives, okay? So now God has to ramp it up a notch, okay? But Pharaoh has succeeded at this point. Now he's caused division among the people, okay? And that was his goal. So you see at the ending of chapter 5, it says Israel's deliverance assured. Now look at 22 and 23. Moses asked God, why have you brought trouble on these people? Now, that one I did have a problem with, okay? I didn't have a problem with the foremen or supervisors, but God spoke to Moses himself, okay? Himself, and called him with the burning bush right there beside him. And he says, why have you caused trouble on these people? And not only did he say that, he asked, why have you even sent me? So we see here that Moses still not convinced. Moses is very timid. He is showing no faith and no confidence. Okay? So we need to point that out. He's showing no faith and no confidence at this stage in the game. But luckily, that's going to change. Okay? So Moses told God, Pharaoh has done evil to your people, and you have not delivered your people at all. How can you speak to God like that? God has given you an avenue to talk to him directly. And this is what you're going to say to the Most High God. Okay. Moses, I put a note, a little side note in your notes there, guys. Moses is second guessing God, and he's also second guessing himself. Okay. He has no confidence, and his faith has not been built up at this point. Okay. So that covers chapter 5. I hope that gives you a great explanation of chapter 5 and answered any questions that you may have. If not, we'll talk about it after the sessions. Okay. Moving right along. Chapter 6. Let's turn the page. Let's go to chapter 6. And you see in your study Bible that chapter 6, and this is just a little tidbit, guys, chapter 6 doesn't have a major heading. Why? Because it is a direct continuation of the verse right before it in chapter 5. Okay? So it is not a different scenario or setting. It is the same thing. Okay? The same thing. So when Moses said what he said, now, chapter 6, the Lord said to Moses, now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh. Okay? You shall see now. He will see and you will see. With a strong hand, he will let them go and drive them out of his land. Okay? Of his land. So you see, he gets specific and he restates, I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob as God Almighty. But my name, Lord Yahweh, I was not known to him. Okay? We got to take a pause right there. Okay? Let me read it directly from Scripture. Look at chapter 6. Then the Lord said to Moses, and I'm reading New King James, okay? Now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand, he will let them go. And with a strong hand, he will drive them out of his land. Okay? Verse 2. And God spoke to Moses and said to him, I am the Lord. I am Yahweh, Y-H-W-H. I am the Most High God. That's what that means. Okay? That's what that's translated as. His proper name, Yahweh. Okay, verse 3, I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty, as the Almighty God, the all-powerful one. But by my name, I was not known to them. Okay, verse 4, I have established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, in which they were strangers. And I have also heard the groanings of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians kept in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. Therefore, say to the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out. Okay? If you are confused what he is saying there, all that he is saying is that I will prove and you will experience for yourself that I am the Most High God. Okay? As in a mighty, mighty miracle, I will prove to you that I am Yahweh, the Most High, and there is none above me, and there is none equal to me. They knew me as Almighty God, but I will reveal to my people, now that my people are established, 2.5 million, the people aspect or element of the nation has been formed. Now I need to show or prove myself to the nation that I am Yahweh, and I will reveal myself as Yahweh, the Most High God. That's what he is saying, okay? So he is going to go through all of this to, one, prove to his nation that he is forming, he is Yahweh. And secondarily, to prove to Pharaoh, the fake god, and all the other gods that he is the Most High. That's what they're saying. So in your notes, I said they will know by personal experience Yahweh as their covenant-keeping God. So he will fulfill his promises or some of the promises that he has said to them. Okay? So that's what he's going to do. That's what he means by that. Okay, so in your notes, I put verse 4 through 9. Listen to this. I am the Lord, exclamation point, the Lord. The Lord would bring you out from your burdens, one, rescue you, two, redeem you, take you as my people, bring you into the land, and give you the land that I have promised. Those are the things that he stated, verses 4-9. And if you were reading it slowly and meticulously, you should have underlined those things. Bring you out from your burdens, rescue you, redeem you, take you as my people, bring you into the land, and give you the land, which is the promised land. Okay? That's what he's telling them in verses 4-9. Amen? The people did not heed the voice of Moses after all that was said. You will find that. So let's look at verse 10-13, okay? God told Moses again to tell Pharaoh, let my people go. We know that phrase. We've known it as children, right? It says it over and over and over again. So Moses replied that the people didn't believe me. So how shall Pharaoh believe me if my own people don't believe me? I am of uncircumcised lips, okay? You'll find that in 10-13. Well, Reb, slow it down. What does Moses mean? I am of uncircumcised lips. Moses is saying, you remember the incident that his son was not circumcised and then Zipporah rushed and circumcised the son? Well, what this is saying is, I am of uncircumcised lips. He is saying, I have been disobedient myself. Okay? I have been disobedient myself. I have fallen short myself. So why should they even listen to me? I'm just a regular man. So you've called me to do this. Why would they, the Hebrews don't believe me, Pharaoh don't believe me. And frankly, I have no confidence in myself. That's what he means by that. So if that tripped you up, that's what he means by that. Amen? Amen. So you will see a large grouping at the end of chapter 6, verses 14-27, is the family of Moses and Aaron. It's restating what has already been said about the genealogy of Moses and Aaron. Now, I constantly tell you guys, the reason for that is so that lineage and family lines can be established and reviewed year after year, hundreds and thousands of years later. That is to authenticate the Bible. That is to authenticate the history, the lineage, the families. So when research is done, you can always say 100%, yes, the Bible is real. Okay? That's why it gives places and people and time periods and families and lineage so that you can always go back and do research and understand that the Bible is real. Okay? So, hopefully that answered a lot of questions that you had in that particular chapter. And guys, we're moving right along. We're in chapter 7 already, okay? Chapter 7 already. So chapter 7, you will see again, no major heading to start it. That's because it's a direct continuation of the same thing, okay? So God said to Moses, immediately after what Moses said. Now, well, I will say this. Sometimes scripture does those things. It puts, all of a sudden, it puts that genealogy and sticks it in there. It seems kind of weird, and I understand that. It kind of throws your thought process off, but don't let that throw you off, okay? It puts it in there to establish genealogy, but don't let that throw you off. Keep your mindset on the plan and the purpose of God and what he's doing, okay? So now, chapter 7, God said to Moses, I have made you as God to Pharaoh. Now, and he says, and Aaron shall be your prophet. Okay, he shall speak for you. Wording is everything. God did not say, I have made you a God to Pharaoh. He didn't say that. He says, as God to Pharaoh, meaning I have made you above Pharaoh. Does not mean that you are a God. Okay, I had that question during the week. Okay, that's all he's saying. You are speaking to God in an authoritative fashion, is what he's saying. okay, in an authoritative fashion. That's what he's saying. So you are not a God. And it says, I, God, Most High, will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs in the land. Okay? Pharaoh will not heed you. So let me tell you right now, and why does he need to go back over this? Because Moses just told him, you have not delivered your people. Well, now I got to spell it out for you, okay? I will harden his heart. I will multiply my signs in the land, okay? It will not be a one-step process. I will harden his heart. So just do as I command you to do. Take the focus off of yourself, Moses, and put it on me. Let me handle this. You just speak the words I tell you to speak, okay? So Pharaoh would not heed you so that or because. So here's my plan. Here's my purpose. That I may lay my hand on Egypt and bring my people out of Egypt by great judgments. I don't want to just bring them out. I can lift my pinky finger and bring 2.5 million people out. But that will not further my purpose. I need to prove my authority and sovereignty to my people. And I need to prove it to the Egyptians and everybody else around. So that's why I'm going to go through this process. It's a proving process, okay? But get this. I had to put this in you guys' notes. God is controlling the actions and the reactions, okay? Think about that. What a sovereign God, okay? I'm controlling the actions. I'm also controlling how the people are reacting to my actions. So I'm controlling the actions, the reactions, and the subsequent actions to those reactions. Amen, somebody. And I can't say that again, so I hope you caught it the first time, okay? So that's how much God is in control. He's using them as puppets. That's how you have to look at this set of scriptures, okay? Just to further his purpose. So before I get excited, let me further on, okay? Verse 5, the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, Yahweh. When you see the Lord, that's the translation. Why didn't they put it in there? Because the original translators knew that that word Yahweh was so holy that they were not allowed to even put that name that was so holy in written text. So they translated it the Lord, to answer your question. So when I stretch out my hand on Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among them, they will know that I am the Most High, the one and only God. Okay, verse 6. Man, I'm getting excited. Let me calm down a little bit. Okay, verse 6. Moses and Aaron did as the Lord commanded them. Now, it gives you their ages. Why? So that you can research it for yourself, that time period. Moses was 80 years old and Aaron was 83 years old. So Aaron was an older brother, 3 years older, okay, when they spoke to Pharaoh. Okay, so now, verse 8 through 12, you see it's now you have a little heading, and it says Aaron's miraculous rod, okay? And this blessed me because I forgot that at times it was Aaron's rod that he spoke to Aaron, and Aaron used his rod. It wasn't Moses' rod. I actually had forgot about that. See, it's good to revisit scripture over and over again in your lifetime because God is going to always speak to your spirit about different things. He's going to reveal to you different things about scripture, okay? As a living word, it will always give you something different, okay? If you pray first and ask for it. So when Pharaoh asks for a miracle, I say to Aaron, take your rod, Aaron's rod, and cast it before Pharaoh's feet and let it become a serpent, okay? When he asks you for a miracle, this is what I want you to do. Then you see 11 through 13, Pharaoh counted that miracle by calling the wise man and the sorcerers or the magicians. And what did they do? They threw down their rods. So, and their rods became serpents as well. Okay? So it's now, whoa, wait a minute. Reb, you got to explain that one. I told you in previous sessions, when sin entered into the world, that was the reason why later the Messiah had to come to take the penalty for the sins. Everybody in the lands other than the Hebrews were serving false gods, serving Satan himself. Okay? Everybody else. The Hebrews was the chosen people. Everybody else, especially after the Tower of Babel, okay, or during that time period, everybody after the flood, everybody outside of God's chosen people were worshiping other gods, satanic gods, okay? So the serpent, which we see, serpent and the serpent in the Garden of Eden, okay, symbolizes evil. So they were able to bring about the magicians or sorcerers were able to bring about a serpent as well from a rod. So now Pharaoh really don't believe them, right? So their rods became serpents as well. But the key is, remember I told you, God was establishing his superiority. Aaron's rods swallowed up their rods, right? Establishing superiority. Then Pharaoh's heart grew hard and he didn't heed them. Listen to what it says. Pharaoh's heart grew hard, okay? It was already hard, but it's growing even harder, okay? All right, pay attention to how that is worded. Now, let me bring up this chart. I did not write this chart myself. We're just using it, downloading it from the internet, okay, with my research that I have. I'm not selling it, okay, for legal terms, okay? Now, I want you to pay attention to this chart that I've showed to you before. Plague 1, 2, and 3 is for everybody, meaning it affected everybody. So before we start with this, it affected everybody. You see in the middle, Israel is exempt, question mark. No, they're not exempt. Plague 1, they're not exempt. Plague 2, they're not exempt. Plague 3. Starting in plague 4, they are exempt. And we will get to that. But just remember, from 4 through 10, they are exempt. Now, the last plague, and we won't get to that today, but the last plague, they're exempt if they obey and do what God told them to do. But they are exempt, theoretically, plague 4 through 10. So the first three, remember. Now, the second thing I want to bring out, this is what God was doing. This is what most theologians believe. Plague 1 was turning the water into blood. That was against the God that they worship, which was the guardian of the Nile or the spirit of the Nile, which is K-H-N-U-M, however that's pronounced, and Hapi, H-A-P-I, the spirit of the Nile, okay? So don't get caught up in the pronunciations and all that. It's just that God was going against Pharaoh, thinking he was a god, and he was disproving every plague pretty much was going against a particular god that they was worshiping. So they was worshiping the God of the Nile or spirit of the Nile, okay? The second one, I know we'll get to the second one, the frogs, it was the spirit of the Nile as well, but because they came out of the Nile, and we'll get to that, but the spirit or God of a frog, H-E-Q-T, that God, okay? So remember that. I know we will get to the swarms of lice, and you were supposed to read this ahead of time. Okay, that God, that's uncertain to what God that was, but it was perhaps, theologians believe, an attack on the priests, and we will get to that, okay, to disprove them. So keep those things in mind. It was to disprove the gods that they was worshiping. Okay, so let's get to verse 14 and 16, which deals with the first plague, water becomes blood. Okay? Water becomes blood. 7:40, we got good time. Okay? The Lord spoke to Moses and said, I'm at verse 14, guys, and look at your notes. Okay, go to Pharaoh in the morning when he goes out to the water. That must have been his habit to go out to the Nile, which they worship the Nile, the god of the Nile, the spirit of the Nile. And you shall stand by the river bank to meet him. And the rod which was turned into a serpent, you shall take in your hand. And say to Pharaoh, the Lord, Yahweh, God of the Hebrews, specifically, has sent me to you, saying, let my people go. And he keeps saying this over and over again, that they may serve me in the wilderness. Serve me, he says, serve me, Yahweh, not serve man. Okay, I put that as a little side note, is what he was saying. Not serve you, Pharaoh, but so that they may serve me. Okay, verse 17 through 18. By this you shall know that I am the Lord, the Lord. Strike the waters, and it shall be turned to blood. 1, 2, the fish shall die. 3, the water shall stink. 4, the Egyptians shall loathe to even drink or try to drink the water. My God. Now we're talking about the entire waterways, okay? And it goes even farther. 19 through 20, Moses and Aaron did as the Lord commanded. All the waters in the land of Egypt, but here's the catch, both in the buckets of wood and the pitchers of stone was turned into blood. Okay? So that means if they had gathered water the day before, the week before, even all the water in the pitchers that they had in their homes, that was turned to blood. So that's the extent of what God is doing, the power of God, and how he was establishing to them how powerful and supreme he was. Now, if you do a little research on the context, in this particular context of the word blood, it is translated color red, okay? So the translation is, or it can be perceived through research, that the water did not turn to blood, like blood flowing through your veins. It turned a stinky red color. A deep red, blood-looking red color. So all of the waters were tinted. If you research in this context, blood, in this set of scriptures, is translated red color, okay? So that's how you have to think of it when you're studying these scriptures. So because the Nile would be returned back to its proper form. So it makes perfectly good sense that it wasn't turned to blood, but just it was tinted with a substance or a color that made it undrinkable and gave it a smell, and all the fish died. So it was stinking at that point, okay? So 20 through to 24, moving right along. Then the magicians of Egypt, they step forward, the sorcerers, okay? They did so with their spells or enchantments. They did the same thing. What that means is the water that they had, they turned it red or turned it blood. They were devil worshipers, okay? So because of this, Pharaoh's heart grew hard, even more so. He did not heed them or heed their words. So Pharaoh turned and went back to his house. Now that's total disrespect. I'm gonna turn my back on both of you, Moses and Aaron, no matter what you've showed me, and I'm going back to my house. I'm going back to my palace, okay? So then the Egyptians, it even says, dug all around the riverbanks so that they could find drinkable water, and they could not find any. And the scripture says that 7 days passed after the Lord had struck the river. Okay, now, one thing to keep in mind, the sorcerers or the magicians turned water into blood or red in a very small scale, like a pot that they had or vase that they had. They did not turn waterways into blood, okay? So they were not proving anything. So if you said, wait a minute, they had just as much power then if they could do the same thing. No, they only turned a small bit of water into blood or turned it red, okay? That's all they did. Why? Think about it. The waterways were already turned into blood. And really, the scripture says, the verses before that, that all of the water in pitchers of stone and in wooden buckets was already turned. So that tells me that if they had a bucket in their hand, God had already previously turned it red, correct? If we just follow the flow of scripture, correct? So that tells me, not my own interpretation, but just what the scripture says, that tells me that they were lying. That tells me that if they had it in their hand, they did an enchantment over it, but all the water in the land had already been turned. So they didn't prove anything, right? Okay, so moving right along. The second plague, we had chapter 8 now, okay? Let's turn the page. Chapter 8, it says the second plague, which is frogs. And I told you that frog god that they were worshiping, okay? So now he's going to disprove the frog god or go against the frog god or the spirit of the Nile because the frogs came out of the Nile, okay? So go tell Pharaoh, let my people go that they may serve me, M-E, capital M, me. He keeps saying that over and over again. But now get this. But if you refuse to let them go, I will smite all your territory with frogs. The river shall bring forth frogs, frogs in your house, in your bedroom. So now he's being very specific. In your bedroom, in your bed, in your servants' houses, into your ovens, into your kneading bowls. They will come on you, they will come on your people, and they will come on your servants. Everywhere, frogs, okay? Very specific. Now, this is still everybody, guys. This is all the land. Okay, keep that in mind. So verse 6, Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters, and the frogs came forth out of the rivers and covered all the land of Egypt. So he's saying, I'm greater than this frog god that y'all worshiping. I'm greater than Pharaoh. He's no god. And I'm greater than the spirit or god of the Nile that y'all are worshiping. Okay? So, verse 7. Look at this. The magicians or sorcerers did so also and brought forth frogs on the land of Egypt. On the land of Egypt. Not all of the land. It was just a small scale trick. Okay? The frogs were all over, already over the land. So they brought forth a small little grouping of frogs or whatever. The land was already covered with frogs. So primarily, they weren't doing anything major, okay? But it was showing Pharaoh that it could be done, either by enchantments or lies, whatever the case was. He was just trying to prove that he was greater than God or as God. And we know that's not true. So, move right along. Verse 8, Pharaoh asked Moses and Aaron to entreat or talk to or beg your God, entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from my people. He's tired now. Take them away from my people, and I will let your people go, that they may sacrifice to the Lord. Just get these frogs away from me. I'm tired of them. So the grouping of verse 9 through 11, Moses told Pharaoh that he was to say exactly when? He, Moses, told Pharaoh, you tell me exactly when you want the Lord to remove the frogs when I go talk to the Lord from the land and return back to the rivers. You tell me, why is he doing this? I'm not only going to go talk to God, but I'm going to let you pick when they leave. So if you pick ahead of time and I go talk to God in the morning and they leave exactly when you said, then you cannot doubt that God is who he is. Okay? So he said, his reply was, tomorrow. Tell them to have the frogs go back into the rivers tomorrow. And Moses says, well, let it be according to your word, Pharaoh, that you may know that there is no one like the Lord Yahweh, our God, the Most High. So you see in verse 12 through 15, Moses cried out to the Lord to remove the frogs. And the Lord removed the frogs from the land, just as Moses had asked him to. Now, the ones, they returned to the rivers. They stopped coming out of the rivers, but most of them, a lot of them died on the lands, okay? So the dead frogs had to be gathered together in piles. And the Bible says the land stank, S-T-A-N-K, stank. That's amazing, amen? So, but when Pharaoh saw that there was release or relief, Pharaoh, hardened his heart and did not let the people go. This time, he hardened his heart himself. I wonder if y'all catch that, okay? I wonder if you catch that. He says he hardened his heart, small h-e. If it was God, it would have been capital H. Small h, he hardened his heart and did not let the people go. He did, and I'm saying that for a reason. Now, before that, it says his heart grew hardened. In wording like that, his heart became hard or grew hardened, meaning step by step, it became harder and harder. This time, despite he saw what was going on and cried out that God would remove the frogs, he then took it upon himself to harden his own heart. Okay? Remember that. He did it himself. Now, of course, God is in control, but he specifically took it upon himself. God knew it ahead of time he would do it, yes, but he specifically took it upon himself to harden his own heart, to change his own mind and say, I'm not going to let him go. So now we're already to the third plague, which is lice, okay? So this is real short. The Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron, stretch out your rod, and strike the dust of the ground. And some translations say gnats, and some say lice, okay? So don't let that trip you up. So that it may become lice throughout all the land of Egypt. Aaron did so. He struck the dust of the earth, and it became lice on man, on all man and all beasts. So you see in 18 and 19, it goes to turning point. The magicians worked with their enchantments over and over again to bring forth lice. Here's a turning point. But they could not bring forth lice. They could not duplicate the miracle or the plague. Okay? So the magician said to Pharaoh, this is truly the finger of God. Amen? So now the magicians, the sorcerers, the people that do all these enchantments and spells directly given to them from Satan himself, they said, their mindset has changed. This is the finger of God. But, B-U-T, but. Y'all know they tell me but. When you see but, it cancels out everything that was said before it, right? So then they said, this is the finger of God. It says but. So that cancels that out. Pharaoh's heart grew hard. It became hard at first. It was harder. He made it hard himself. Now his heart grew hard. So step by step, it's becoming harder. And he did not heed them just as the Lord had said. Okay? Now, we're at the fourth plague. I'm going to try to get in as many of these as possible, okay? We're at the fourth plague, the plague of the flies. Now, remember what I told you. Now, Israel is exempt from the plagues. Everything that's going to happen is happening to Egyptians, or the land of Egypt, should we say, but not Israel, not the Hebrews, okay? Is not happening to them. Okay, let's go. The Lord says to Moses, okay? Rise early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh as he comes out to the water. Say to him, let my people go. He keeps saying it over and over again, that they may serve me. But if you refuse, I will send swarms of flies on you and your servants, on your people, and into all of your houses. My God. I don't know about y'all, but if I'm outside or I'm at a cookout, I'm saying like this, one fly can get on my everlasting nerve. Okay, so if one fly can get on my nerve like that, imagine if flies covered everywhere and covered all the land. I couldn't stand that, me personally, okay? So I will set up, verse 22, here we go. Here's a separation. I will set apart the land of Goshen in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there, in order that you, Pharaoh, and the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord, the Most High, Yahweh, in the midst of the land. That you will know that I'm causing a separation, okay? That now is not happening to everybody. I'm going to separate and make a dividing line, and I'm going to cause the plagues to happen to one group, and I'm going to save the other group, okay? So now, 23 and 24, I will make a difference between my people and your people. Capital M, my people and your people. The next day, the Lord did so, and thick swarms of flies came upon the Egyptians. Verse 25, and Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, listen to the wording changes now. Go sacrifice to your God in the land. Okay to sacrifice, but don't leave the land to do it, is what he's saying. I read that too fast. Let me go back, because I highlighted it, okay? Go sacrifice to your God, but he says, in the land, meaning don't leave the land, but go do your sacrifices. So it's okay to sacrifice, but don't leave. Mm-mm. Look at verse 26 and 27. That's why now we see this set of scriptures. We cannot do this, Moses said to Pharaoh. It is an abomination to the Egyptians to sacrifice here. We must go 3 days away from here, as he, capital H-E, God, commanded us to do so. Pharaoh says, verse 28, I will let you go to the wilderness. Just don't go far away. He's still trying to be in control, people. He's still trying to dictate how far they go. But just intercede for me, please. Talk to God for me. Get these flies away from me, okay? So verse 29 and 32, Moses agreed to speak to the Lord for Pharaoh. But he warned him this time, don't change your mind this time, okay? Don't go back on your word, or it's going to get more severe. So the Lord removed all the flies just as he was asked. Not one remained, the scripture says. But what did he do? Once again, Pharaoh still hardened his heart and would not let the people go. Amen? So, chapter 9, we have... I might not be able to get it in. Chapter 9, we have the fourth plague. And we will see the fourth plague, which was the flies. And we start chapter 9 is the fifth plague, okay? This is very short. I have 2 minutes, so let me get the fifth plague in, okay? Tell Pharaoh, let my people go. But if you refuse, and still hold on to them, hold on to my people, the hand of the Lord will be on your cattle in the field, on the horses, on the donkeys, on the camels, on the oxen, on the sheep, a very severe pestilence or disease or plague. I will make a difference between the livestock of Israel and the livestock of Egypt. Nothing shall die that belongs to the children of Israel. Amen? Amen. That's what I wanted to get to. He is saving everything that belongs to his children, and everything else will be stricken with the plague, called into separation. So lastly, verse 7 through 5, the Lord set a time for it to happen. Starting tomorrow, it will occur. Speaking in prophecy, speaking prophetic, ahead of time. So the next day, all the livestock of Egypt died, which was mentioned before, the horses, the donkeys, the camels, the oxen, the sheep, okay? None of the livestock of Israel died. Amen. Pharaoh sent people to even double check because they were in Goshen. And they brought him back a report that says, yes, all of their livestock was still alive, and all of your livestock has died. But the heart of Pharaoh became hard, and he did not let the people go. Amen. So on next week, my brother, my sister, we will pick up on plague number 6. We got into chapter 9, but we will pick up on plague number 6. So we will easily be able to finish 6 through 10, and we have to spend some time on the Passover, which is so, so very important, the establishment of the Passover, okay? So that 10th plague and what happens after that. So I pray, my brother and my sister, that this lesson has blessed you richly, and that it has given you some insight or some knowledge on those particular chapters, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9. We covered a lot today.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.